Captain Shafiq stood on the deck of his boat and waved down at Anya as she came. His skin shone in the heat, and perspiration dappled his gray shirt.
Ahoy! Miss Green!
Anya accepted the man's hand as she stepped onto the Casablanca Moon.
Captain! Any problems getting the supplies?
No, ma'am. Were you expecting a problem? Your friend's money arrived in good order this morning.
No problem there, but there may be another situation. I was just ambushed by a gang looking for the Naga statues.
Ambushed? You say you don't know these men?
Only that they tried to rob the excavation site.
If it was the figurines they were after, this may not be the only time they try. If they do, that would be their mistake. The men I have aboard this boat have fought for cargo before. If you make your living as a merchantman in these waters, you can bet you'll have to deal with pirates at some point. We have. Do you have reservations about this voyage?
I do.
Are you thinking of calling it off?
I'm not. But I wanted you to know what you were dealing with.
We can take care of ourselves, Miss Creed. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to get this boat squared away.
Work away, Captain.
After she stowed her gear in the small berth where she was staying with Professor Rye, Anya returned to the deck to help with storing provisions and some of the equipment. Shafiq had protested her efforts, but Anya pointed out that it was too hot to stay below decks, and she didn't think wandering around town was a good idea. Reluctantly, Shafiq agreed and assigned her to assist one of the more experienced hands. While on the deck, she could also watch the docks for any sign of the young men. She felt good about the work. The heat baked into her and warmed her muscles. Lochata had arrived right after Anya, carrying several maps and books. Anya and the deckhand helped Lochata load her cargo onto the boat.
Nautical charts and books regarding the area. Perhaps we can use them to narrow down the search for your ship.
It's not my ship, Professor.
If we locate it, the ship will be named as your find.
You've cleared up all the paperwork with the ASI?
Yes, Captain. I had to call in some favors to push the paperwork through so quickly. You'll find everything you need there that will answer any questions the Coast Guard or Navy might have.
Good. I wouldn't want them to arrest me as a thief.
They won't. Not with those papers. After I explained the circumstances of the tsunami and pointed out the fact that the sea could just as easily take back what she'd given, if she hasn't already, they capitulated. I don't think it hurts that your presence will guarantee television exposure of the event.
Helmsman, take her out of the harbor.
Anya stood in the stern as Shafiq pointed a long arm towards the sea. She shaded her eyes as she raked the docks for anyone who might be overly interested in their departure. Now that they were underway, her perspiration-sodden clothing felt cool. She lifted the hair from the back of her neck and held it in one hand for a time to luxuriate in the breeze. Other than a few friendly waves and wishes for safety and luck, the Casablanca Moon drew only cursory attention. But Anya didn't doubt for a moment that someone was out there watching. She could feel their gaze on her. Standing on the vibrating dock in the shadow of a load of cargo stacked on pallets, James Fleet watched the Casablanca Moon move through the harbor. He held his binoculars at an angle so the sun wouldn't catch the lenses. The dhow cut the water smoothly, despite the equipment lashed to her stern decks. He focused on the woman standing there looking back. She was very beautiful. He'd seen her a few times on television, but that kind of programming had never really appealed to him. He'd preferred military history. Occasionally, he'd watched Chasing History's Monsters when Anya Creed was focusing on history and not the monster of the week. Fleet broke his gaze. Some people could feel when someone stared at them too hard or too long. Fleet had always been able to. Even the day he and his team had been ambushed, he'd known he'd drawn the attention of someone dangerous. Besides, he wasn't looking for the woman. She was just the bait in the trap. After taking up a new position, Fleet turned his attention back to the docks. In less than a minute, he spotted Rajiv Shivaji standing in the prow of one of the small ships he owned. Only a moment after Fleet had focused on the man, Rajiv shifted uncomfortably and turned to look back along the docks as well. Fleet turned away.
Okay, bloody sod. You're interested. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Anya lounged on the ship's deck beside Lochata. The woman seemed as at ease in her present surroundings as Anya assumed she did in the classroom. Captain Shafiq and the four men who'd been hired to assist in the diving crowded around the two women. All of the local divers were young and fit. Two were Indian, one was Nigerian, and the fourth was German. They all spoke English and had worked dives before.
A ship doesn't simply sink beneath the ocean when it goes down. A large part of what happens to a vessel beneath the waves depends on what caused it to sink. Are you familiar with McElroy's model?
Lochata's gaze lingered on the four young divers. Anya knew about the marine archaeologist's template for site recovery, but she also knew Lochata hadn't been asking her.
Yeah, he wrote out a study of what happens to a ship that's gone down and what you can expect from a salvage job. What happens to the ship itself and what to expect if the shipwreck has been disturbed in the past by other divers or natural phenomena.
Very good. And that's exactly what I want you to remember while we're down there. Before we go through that shipwreck, provided it's out there and we find it, we're going to film it and document its present conditions.
Won't the tsunami have disrupted it?
Without a doubt. We're not going to get the best look we could have at this site, but we're going to make sure we do the best we can.
This is not a treasure hunt.
I heard there was gold down there. I was told Miss Creed found some gold figures and some coins.
Gold has been found, and I'll have you remember that while we're working on this site, we are working under the umbrella of the ASI. Professor Rai is the representative in this matter. If anything goes missing while we're out there, I'll see you jailed. You have my word on that.
No problem. But people are talking about this. We might not be the only people working that area.
We will be. All I have to do is make a radio call to the Navy, and we'll have reinforcements in place in short order. In the meantime, I've hired men aboard this boat who know how to handle weapons.
We go slowly. That's how we best learn what history has to teach us.
Agreed.
McElroy's model tells us a lot of what we can expect as we sift through the debris. Of course, the tsunami will have altered some of that. The first thing we want to discover is why the ship went down. Many ships aren't wrecked. They were abandoned and scuttled because they'd outlived their good years of service.
That doesn't seem likely in this case. They wouldn't send a boat to the bottom if they knew it had treasure aboard.
The people who sank it might not have known. Captains and quartermasters often had hiding places aboard their vessels.
In the same way the pirates and smugglers do now.
Yes. How the ship went down will tell us a lot of what we need to know.
Do you even know what kind of ship you're searching for?
No. I hope that's one of the things we discover. If it wasn't scuttled, the ship could have been beached somewhere, then slid off into the shallows a long way from where it started out. But there have always been merchant wars and pirates in this area. I think we're more likely, since gold is probably aboard, as well as the skeletons that were recovered in the sail canvas, to find that the ship was sunk, either in battle or as the result of a storm.
If that's the case, there could be more than one ship down there.
That's what we want to find out.
Cool air swept in from the sea and caused Anya to wish she'd brought a jacket. She stood in the stern and gazed up at the full moon. Dark clouds scudded across the bright lunar face.
Miss Creed?
Startled, Anya turned toward the voice and found Shafiq seated in a camp chair at the stern railing. The orange coal of his cigar glowed briefly and lifted his ebony features out of the shadows.
Captain.
What are you doing up at this time of night?
I'm restless. I got a good night's sleep last night.
You also worked hard today.
I guess I'm excited.
I suppose that's allowed. Here, It's clean. Wool.
Thank you.
Do you always get this excited?
You mean before I get a chance to look at something that's probably vanished from the minds of men for hundreds or thousands of years? Yes. I get this excited every time.
I feel the same way every time I take this ship out onto the salt. If I ever lose that feeling, I'll have to find something else to do.
I know what you mean.
What do you expect to find?
A ship that went down several years ago with interesting trinkets aboard.
Gold trinkets.
Gold doesn't impress me much.
Then you're among the minority, Miss Creed.
Call me Anya.
Anya. You've heard of the continent that so many people believe was lost under the sea out here, haven't you?
Lemuria, the land of the lemurs. That was a theory that came out in the 19th century. Geologists and biologists looking for a way to explain biodiversity believed it was a continent that had at one time connected the land masses in this area. Other scientists thought that Lemuria might have extended across the Pacific Ocean and touched Asia and the Americas.
You chose not to entertain the possibility.
No. Of course, there are some land bridges that can be proven. The Bering Strait, for instance.
Then why couldn't Lemuria have existed?
That theory was developed before the theory of continental drift, and before we learned much about plate tectonics. Seafloor spreading accounts for a lot of the plant and animal migrations.
We should reach the dive site tomorrow morning. But before we do, you really should get some sleep.
You're right. I guess I'll head back down.
There's another place out here that you might want to keep your mind open about, Anya.
What place?
Maybe scientists have given up on the idea of Lemuria, but those who trade in myths and legends still talk about an island that once existed out here. It was known as Kamarikandam, the Sunken City.